issue last week. I'm giving you a bit of an extension on it. The purpose of the homework is because certainly the first 10, 11 chapters of Yeshayahu, or to be more specific, from chapter 6 through 11 or 12, can best be understood in terms of the specific time frame. You have to know who the kings were. Not only you have to know who the kings were, remember, he prophesied during the lifetime of four kings: Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehudah. Achaz is going to be mentioned in the first 10 chapters. Now, you have to know what was going on in Israel at the time, what kind of kings they were, and you also have to know what was going on in the world at large. When I say the world at large, the whole large world was the Middle East. We're talking about the conflicts that were taking place between Aram and Mitzrayim, the rise of Ashur. There is Babel in the background. And as I pointed out, and we will see it, Yeshayahu had very important statements to be made that would today be called of a political nature. But the Nevi'im, through the vehicle of prophecy, did have opinions about whether Israel should enter into different alliances, should they get into a fray, should they stay out of the battle. I mean, there are a lot of things where the Nevi'im gave clear instructions to the Jewish people. So the homework that I gave you was, as I told you in Malachim, it was chapter 15 and 16. There it was dealing with Azariyahu, who I told you is Uzziyahu. And now there are corresponding chapters in Sefer Divrei Hayomim that put in a lot of information that we don't have in Malachim. But have no fear, I will clarify it to the very best of my ability for all of you. And we'll have to know what took place during the period of those kings. I suggest 15 in Malachim Bet, 15, 16, 17, 18. It's not difficult reading, but your problem is when it comes to the years. Who became king at what time? It also will be important to know who were the kings of Israel. But I don't want to confuse you about that. We'll confuse you. There's enough time. We have a budget of a lifetime to be confused. There's nothing to worry about. Last week we learned the part of the first chapter in Sefer Yeshayahu. I think that we got as far as was it Pasuk 20? I think we got as far as Pasuk 20. Okay.
Could I just add something?
Yes.
I am a little bit confused. I mean, the division of there was already a division of Yehuda and Yisrael before Yeshayahu
yes.
Prophesied. Now, he prophesied in Yehuda.
Yes.
Shomron, I mean, Israel was at that time already besieged by
not yet.
Already to pay Nisim. They were still existing, but he prophesied also.
His prophecy was in Yehuda and Yerushalayim. There are other prophets in Israel at the same time that Yeshayahu is prophet in Yehuda of Yerushalayim. We will see that there are other prophets who are in Israel who are speaking. There's Hosea. Hosea ben Be'eri is one of the prophets. Amos, Michal, there are prophets who are speaking to the Jews of Israel. His is to Yehuda of Yerushalayim, and when we get to the beginning of the second chapter over here, again we're going to see that Yeshayahu was speaking to Yehuda of Yerushalayim. Remember, he was from the royal family, as we pointed out last week. He was Yeshayahu ben Amos, and Amatziah, king of Yehuda, was his uncle. Now, that much you should have gotten. Who was Amatziah's son? Amatziah's son was, according to Malachim, Azariyahu. Azariyahu is Uzziyahu. Uzziyahu is the first of the kings that's mentioned here that Yeshayahu begins to say prophecy during the period of his reign as king. His reign as king, we will see, was divided into two parts: pre-leprosy and post-leprosy. Now, I don't want to tell you too much because I'm going to confuse you. I'll confuse you anyway. Uzziyahu is the one who decides that out of great passion, religious passion, he wants to bring Ketoret in the Bet HaMikdash. and they tell him, don't do it. This is for priests and not for kings. He does it, and there is an earthquake, and he becomes a Metzora, and he's going to live in isolation and solitude for the rest of his life outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Right, I think it's right near Yad Avshalom. There is a place that is called the Bet HaChoshet. But I'm going too fast for you. So let me just say, hang in.
He speaks about
Yehuda Yerushalayim. We will see what he says about Yisrael. Yisrael during this period of time is going to be the enemy of Yehuda, and he's going to have things to say about Israel. He's going to talk about Babel, he's going to talk about Tzor, he's going to talk about Aram, he's going to talk about all of the nations surrounding Eretz Yisrael. He's going to talk about Mitzrayim, he's going to talk about everybody. Now, one of the ideas that I said last week that we have to deal with, and I want to make short shrift of it. In this chapter Aleph that we learned most of it, one of the difficult problems begins in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Now the truth is, I shouldn't say that it's a difficult problem. There are those who have wanted to make it a difficult problem, but it's a non-issue. In Pasuk 11, Yeshayahu says, Lomar li rov zivchechem, why do I need your multitude of sacrifices? Yomar Hashem, says God. Savati, olot elim v'chelav reim. I've had it. I'm sated with the olah sacrifices that you bring from lambs and the fatty parts of the body that you bring as sacrifices. V'dam podim u'chavasim v'atudim, and the blood of the bullocks and the sheep and the atudim. I asked you last week what atudim are. What are they? Goats. Lo chafatzti, I don't want it. Now, when you take a look at this pasuk, what impression does it leave you with? It leaves you with the impression that Yeshayahu is speaking out against the cult, in quotation marks, of sacrifice. So any liberal-minded intellectual apikoros has a pasuk that he can say, what are you talking about? There was rabbinic Jewry, and there was prophetic Jewry. By the way, that's the conservative movement speaks about prophetic Jewry. The prophets were concerned about man, not the minutiae of halacha. And certainly they were opposed. They were opposed to the idea of animal sacrifice. Animal sacrifice, all the Eibush Derab Hiten, animal sacrifice is the worst thing of all. And therefore here they have a pasuk, Lama li rov zivchechem yomar Hashem. What do I need all of your sacrifice? Your multitude of sacrifice. I don't want the blood that you sprinkle over there. Pretty good, huh? This is a pretty good argument that Yeshayahu was opposed to sacrifice. And the next pasuk, pasuk 13, Lo tosifu havi minchat shav. You shouldn't bring any more mincha. That's unnecessary. It has no value. Ketoret. And listen to this word. The ketoret, the incense that you bring, to evahili, it's an abomination to me. Chodesh v'shabas. Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, kro mikro, when you call times of special significance, lo uchal, I can't take oven the atzara. Sin and gathering in the Beit HaMikdash. These psukim would seem to indicate that the great prophet Isaiah is speaking out against the cult of sacrifice. Now, I'll give you another pasuk where he says that. We're going to take a very brief journey in the very last chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu, very last chapter, Samech Vav 66. By the way, the first chapter is a Haftorah, and the last chapter is a Haftorah. The first chapter of Yeshayahu, the one that we are learning now, is of course the Haftorah for the Shabbos that precedes Tisha B'Av. It's Shabbos Parshas Devarim, which is therefore called Shabbos Chazon, because the Haftorah begins with Chazon Yeshayahu, that promotes the vision of Yeshayahu ben Amoz. We're going to see soon why it is read. The last chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu is the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. fall on the same day. Ko'amar Hashem, so says God, Hashamayim kis'i, the heavens are my throne, v'haretz hatom ragloy, and the earth is my footstool. Eizeh bayit asher tivnuli. What kind of house can you build to me, for me? Eizeh makom anuchati. What kind of place can you make for me to rest? That kol eila yodi osato. My hands made it all. I made everything. I made the heavens. I made the earth. Vayihu kol eila num Hashem. All of these came into being. I said yehi vayihu kol eila. So says God. Elzeh abit. Though I am the mighty and the awesome and the great God, you know where I am? You know what I look at? You know what I'm concerned with? Ani u'decheidrach, the poor or the suffering, the one who's broken in spirit, the chored al devari, and his concern trembles before my word. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3 in this last chapter, seems to be another attack on the idea of sacrifice. Shochet Asher, the one who slaughters the ox, to me it's like Makeish. It's like you're smiting a man. What do you want from the poor shore? Zobeach Asher, the one who sacrifices Hashem, it's like Oreif Kelev, it's like killing a dog. Male Mincha, the one who brings up a Mincha sacrifice to me, it's like Dam Chazir. This is pretty, this is strong terminology. Mazkir Levonah, the one who brings the Levonah, the incense, before me to remember him, is like blessing over nothing. Gam hema vacher ubedarche, and they've chosen their ways. Ubeshikutzehem nafsham chafetzah, in their abominations. They want it, but for me, nah. Okay, is this a pasuk that would seem to indicate a opposition to sacrifice? Of course, this is a pasuk that would seem to be argued. And there are those, of course, enough kofrim and apokurisim to understand who got the doctorates, most probably because they were able to prove Yeshayahu's opposition to sacrifice. So there are two things wrong. Number one, what's wrong is it's like what? You shoot the arrow and then you put the target around it. No, it's not an intellectual pursuit, an honest intellectual pursuit. I've decided that animal sacrifice is ugly. So I go looking for a pasuk, and I come to this pasuk, and I jump for joy. Hodu LaHashem ki tov that I found a pasuk like this. The second problem, of course, is that in all cases, the pasuk is not even understood within its own context. And I'll explain what I mean in a moment. Number three, it is always something of an extremely local nature without looking at the totality of Yeshayahu. Let me take you now, just for a moment, to other psukim in Yeshayahu. Chapter 56. Chapter 56, pasuk 6, the moment that you come to 56:6. Nun vav. The moment I come to it, you're going to start singing. Please, Kalisha. You're going to start singing. God says, I'm going to bring my nun vav vav. Zion. Good. Yes, we say it in Davening and Rashani and Kippur, time and time again. We sing it. That's why I said you need to start singing. That's why I warned you about Kol Isha. I can sing. The Raviosim Al-Har Kodshi, God promises, I will bring them to my holy mountain. V'simachtim b'beit filati, I will make them happy in the house of my house of prayer. Olotehem v'zivchehem l'ratzon al nizbechi. Their Ola sacrifices and their Shlomim sacrifices are going to be accepted willingly upon my altar. Because my house is going to be a house of prayer for all nations. Now, what are you supposed to do with this passage? What is the fellow What is the fellow who has brought me the pasuk at the beginning of Yeshayahu? Why do I need your many sacrifices? I don't want that blood. Where he has proved conclusively that Yeshayahu is speaking out against sacrifice. And here there's another pasuk of Haviyotim Laharkachi Besimachin the Vekilati Olotein Laratzalam is Bechitzar. I know one of the ways that I can imagine you can get another doctorate for getting out of this this way. The pasuk in the first chapter was written by Isaiah 1. This pasuk is written by Isaiah 2. However, we have another problem. I showed you a pasuk in Isaiah 2 in 66, the last chapter, where he's opposed to sacrifice. Let's go to chapter 60. You're close to 60. Go to 60. Pasuk 7. Kol Tzon Kedar Yikav Tzulach. We learned it last year. All the sheep of Kedar will be gathered to you to be brought as sacrifices. Eile Nevoyot, the rams of Nevoyot, Yeshor Rasu Nech, will serve you. Yalu Al Ratzon Mizbechi. They will be brought willingly, will be something of great joy for me on my altar. Ubeit Tifarti Afa'er. The house of my splendor will be made beautiful. Is that another pasuk that tells us that Yeshayahu is in favor of animal sacrifice? Let's go to that last chapter again. The chapter in which he spoke against sacrifice. 66. Well, you can start with pasuk 20. Chaf is 20. Ve'heviu et kol achechem mikol agoyim min kol Hashem. All of the nations will bring sacrifice before me. Basusim u'barechev u'batzavim u'baperodim u'bakir karot al har kodshi Yerushalayim. With all means of conveyance, horses and mules and donkeys and coaches. Al har kach Yerushalayim, my holy Mount Yerushalayim, Omer Hashem, kashi aviu b'nei Yisrael et hamincha, as Israel will bring sacrifice, b'chli tohor b'ei Hashem, v'gamehem, and from the nations of the world also, ekach l'kohanim l'alevim, Omer Hashem, they will be people of the nations of the world who are going to serve me. So which means the following, when you take a look at Yeshayahu in context, you see as many psukim as there are, that seem to indicate an opposition to animal sacrifice. There are just as many psukim, first part of Yeshayahu, second part of Yeshayahu, that speak in favor of sacrifice, or that sacrifice is seen favorably by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright? Which means, of course, there's no longer any proof from this first chapter in Yeshayahu that he's opposed to it. That was the third point. The third point that I made is they focus in on one pasuk and they don't look at the totality of Yeshayahu. Or, for example, this has always been a ploy where you focus in on one pasuk, one halacha, and you attack that, and you don't look at Torah as a whole. When you look at Torah as a whole, it all becomes clear. But now, that's not what they do. Now watch. What I said also didn't look in the context. Let's go back to our chapter over here. And let's make believe for a moment that we're in Apocalypse. Now, you know, we're trying to get a doctorate, okay? Perek Aleph. And here's a classic example of what they don't want to see, they don't want to see. What they don't want to hear, they don't want to hear. Just look at it in the context. Back, chapter Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. What do I need? Your many sacrifices, says God. Savati, I sated with olot elim v'chelet merim. I had enough. V'damparim uchvosim v'atudim. Lo chafatzi, I don't want it. Ki tavole later on pana, when you come to see my face, mi pikeish zelt mi etchem, you come to the Har HaBayit, who wanted this from you? Ramos chetzeroi, you trample on my courtyard. Lo tosifu havi minchat shav, kitoret toevahi li. I don't want your mincha, I don't want your incense. Now let's watch what he says further. I don't want chodesh v'shabbat kero mikra. Would you say that Yeshayahu was speaking out against Shabbos? If you're a dyed-in-the-wool apocryphalist, you know what you'd have to say? Not only is he speaking out against sacrifice, he's speaking out against Rosh Chodesh and against Shabbos. And then in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Chodeshim u'Moadechem Sona Nafshi, your Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov, not only against Shabbos, now it's a Shabbos, you go, Sona Nafshi, how you all light a Torah, there were trouble for me, Nil'eitin Nisar, I'm exhausted from carrying it. And then what are we going to do with Pasuk 15? If one wants to continue to say that Yeshayahu is speaking out against sacrifice, he's speaking out against Rosh Chodesh, and he's speaking out against Shabbos and Yom Tov. Do you know what he's doing in Pasuk 15? He's speaking out against prayer. Do you really think he's speaking out against prayer? Would you use the Pasuk 15 over for Ischem Kapechem, and when you stretch out your hands, Alim Einaimekem, I'm going to close my eyes from you. Gam Kitarbu Tvila. The guys who are opposed to animal sacrifice, can they also be opposed to prayer? Their whole position is, you don't have to bring sacrifices before God. All you have to do is turn to God in prayer, communicate with Him. But Yeshayahu was speaking out against prayer. Have you ever seen anybody say that, you know, Yeshayahu is opposed to prayer? Prayer. No! So they read what they want within the same context of the same few psukim. They see what they want to see, and what they don't want to see, they don't. They just choose not to see, and they expect that the unsuspecting person who's reading doesn't know the context and doesn't know what it says. Just as it's quite clear that Yeshayahu did not speak out against Shabbos, and he did not speak out against prayer, he certainly did not speak out against sacrifice. So how are we to understand it? So if you look at the psukim, you'll see exactly what it was that he had in mind. And I will explain it with a word that I must have said in a shir or two on another occasion, in a different context, one of my favorites. And that will explain the idea behind the Yeshayahu speaking against sacrifice and Yirmiyahu speaks against sacrifice. Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel tells Shaul, "Halo Shemoa mizebach tov." Listening to God is better than bringing sacrifice. So is Shmuel speaking out against sacrifice? Shmuel himself, on a number of occasions, brings public sacrifice. He's saying that listening to the word of God is better than sacrifice. Or look at Pasuk, the end of Pasuk 13, Yud Gimel, in chapter 1. Lo uchal oven v'atzara. I can't take sin and you're gathering together in the Beth HaMikdash at the same time, keilu, as though you haven't sinned. The idea expressed on a number of occasions. Famous pasuk. Pasuk Yashir. Zekeli v'andei, this is my God and I will exalt him. Elokei avi, the God of my father, v'avon menu, and I will raise and uplift him. So Rashi says, Zekelev Anveil, at the Red Sea, even a maidservant was able to point and say, this is my God and I will beautify him. That's one pshat in Anveil. Rashi says another pshat, Anveil, I will make for him Noveh, I will make for him a dwelling place. And there is another pshat, Zekelev Anveil, from the word Noi, I'm going to beautify him. From which the Gemara says that we learn the mitzvah of hidur mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to perform a mitzvah, and there is a mitzvah to perform a mitzvah in a beautiful way. And Rashi says, "Asay l'fon of make before God beautiful tefillin, beautiful talis, beautiful sukkah, yeah, beautiful lulav and esrog, beautiful sefer Torah, written by a sofer, a scribe who is." who is talented, and the Sefer Torah is surrounded by beautiful coverings. This is one opinion in the Gemara. Zekeli van Veyu, this is my God and I will beautify him. The mitzvah of Hidra mitzvah, doing a mitzvah in a beautiful way. Abba Sha'ol Omer, I was always fascinated by the next opinion in the Gemara. Abba Sha'ol says, Zekeli van Veyu, this is my God, van Veyu, I will be like him. You know how he learns the word anvehu? Ani, vahu, I, and he. Just as he is merciful, so I will be merciful. Just as he is compassionate, so I will be compassionate. This is the statement of Abba Sha'ol. Of course, the question that has to be asked is Abba Sha'ol opposed to the halacha that a mitzvah is supposed to be a beautiful mitzvah? The Pasuk of Zekeli Va'anvehu is telling us the halacha that a mitzvah should have a beautiful sukkah. You should have a beautiful Sefer Torah. Now he says, it would seem, no, Zekeli Va'anvehu means that I should be like him. So I once explained, Abba Sha'ol does not disagree with the idea of a mitzvah being beautiful. All that Abba Sha'ol is saying is the following. There are two components that make up the performance of every mitzvah. The two components are the following. The object of mitzvah, the tefillin, the Sefer Torah, the sukkah, and then there is the person who performs the mitzvah. The kavra, the man, and the chetz, or the object. Abba Sha'ol says the following. This is the way I understand. Can you imagine a fellow's going to come into shul the first day of Sukkot with an esrog like the world never saw? Gorgeous esrog, like that mamish. And the lulav, I tell you, you'd kill for a lulav like that. So beautiful. All the Arab Amina comes into shul. And everybody in shul knows the guy's a kanaf. He's a drug peddler. He's an oizvorf. This guy is the lowest of the low. Is that a beautiful mitzvah? Abba Sha'ol says, you know what a beautiful mitzvah is? When both components that make up the mitzvah are beautiful. The person and the object. Otherwise, I just thought of a pasuk in Mishlei. Will explain this as well. Nezem Zohov Ba'af Chazir. He talks about the beautiful gold ring in the nose of a filthy Chazir. That's a shame. That's a shame. There's no beauty there. This fellow, who is the lowest of the low, an ummensch, an oizvorf, that's the word oizvorf, you know, like has such tremendous power. This Oizvorf, who comes into shul with a grisha talus and maybe a grobe gartel and an eschid like the world never saw, this is not a beautiful mitzvah. A beautiful mitzvah is when the beautiful mitzvah is performed by a beautiful person. That's exactly what Yeshayahu would say. You bring the most beautiful sacrifices, but indeed you're an Oizvorf. Your relationship with fellow men, as Yeshayahu is going to talk about, your relationship with fellow men is ugly. You loaf or chal, I can't have the two together. I can't take oven a sinful person. A tzorah comes into the Beis HaMikdash. That's what I can't take. I cannot take somebody who thinks that he can go do kol davarasa, trample on everybody, trod on the downtrodden, and then come into my house and bring a sacrifice, and everything is going to be okay. That's what Yeshayahu was talking about. And it's so simple. Within the context of the pasuk, it's so clear that that's exactly what Yeshayahu was talking about. You know, if one has to simply want to completely change what Yeshayahu or la'aveit, to misconstrue, to read in ugliness into the words of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu was never opposed to animal sacrifice. Animal sacrifice is a mitzvah. Sefer Vayikra is a part of Torah, just like anything else. But the ugliness of it, you're going to come, you understand, with your pockets full of money that's stolen, and maybe your hands are dripping with blood, and you're going to spread your hands out to me? That doesn't go. And that's why, when you stretch out your hands, so I'm saying, remember, that Abba Shaul does not disagree. He says, sure, a mitzvah has to be done with great beauty. But do you know how you beautify a mitzvah? By making yourself a beautiful person. A beautiful person performing a beautiful mitzvah. This is exactly what Yeshayahu wanted. He didn't want the nezen zohar, the gold ring, the af chazir, in the nose of a chazir. Gamki tarbu tfilah. I don't hear what they're saying. Yedechem damim aleihu. Your hands are full of blood. So therefore, rachatzu. Wash yourselves. Cleanse yourselves. Remember, we pointed out last week that there are going to be 10 statements made over here corresponding to the austerity made tshuva. Rachatzu. Hizaku. Wash yourself. Purify yourself. Hasiru roa. Ma'al leichem mineged einai. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Chidlu hareya, stop doing evil. Lindu heitei. Now you see, the first part is sur meirah. The first pasuk is sur meirah. Turn away from the evil. Now he says, but now in the middle of the aseret meitzu, you have to start doing good. Lindu heitei, study well. Dirshu mishpat, seek justice. Ashru chamotz, ashru, make sure that you correct chamotz, that which was stolen. Shiftu yosom. This is going to be repeated often in Yeshayahu. Judge the Yasam, Rivu Almana, fight the battle for the Almana. And then after you've done that, comes in Kippur, Luchunav, Nivacha, Choyomar Hashem. Let us dialogue, says God. Im Yim Chataechim, Kashonim, Kashele, Galbinu, on Yom Kippur, if you have done that. And what does he ask of man? All of the things that he asked of man are in the relationship between Adam Lechavero, between man and fellow man. You can't be a Rosh between Adam Lechavero and come into my Bet Amigdash and bring sacrifices before me, and you expect me to really love it. I can't. In you Chapetim Kashonim, if your sins are going to be like red thread, Kashelach Yalbinu, they will become white like snow. In Yadinu Katolov, they will be red like the Tola. Katzemeyu, they will be like white like fleece. Fleece. I don't know why the word fleece. What was it? Mary had a little lamb. Her fleece was white as snow. Well, I haven't thought of Mary had a little lamb. I don't want to tell you how many years. Fleece was white as snow. Pastor, I think they got it from Yeshayahu. In Tovu Ushimatem, if you will it, Ushimatem, and you will listen, Tuvharet Stokhem, you will eat the best of the land. The Intimo Anu, if you will refuse, Umiritem, and you will rebel, Chedev Tuklu, you will be consumed by the sword, Kipi Hashem, because the mouth of God has spoken. Echa Haita Lezona Kiria Ne'emana. How has she become a zona? Now the word zona here does not have to mean prostitute. The word zona means one who turns away from God. One who betrays God. Kiryat Ne'emana, the city that was a city of faith. How have you turned into a zona? Meleatim Mishpat, that city that was full of justice, tzedek yolimba, and righteousness would live in that city. And now there are murderers in the city. Let me read. So first of all, one of the many reasons why this chapter is read on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, and which is also Shabbos Devarim. So here is the superficial one, because it means that we read all three Eichas in one week. In Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eicha esa levadi torchachem umaasachem v'divchem. How will I carry alone your, you know, the trouble and the burden and the contention of leading this people? And then, of course, on Tisha B'Av we're going to read Eicha Yoshua Vadad. And of course, Eicha Yoshua Vadad is precisely what Yeshayahu was saying. How did this city that was once a city of truthfulness and justice and righteousness, and now there are murderers there? I want to read the Rashi's here. Eicha Hatala Zona, we don't have it unless you have a Tanakh with Rashi. By the way, it would be very good to have a Tanakh with Rashi. And the Mitzudas. And a few other things. Okay. Maybe we'll start checking that now from week to week. If I tell Zonas, so Rashi says, To'a me'al Eloheha. One was turned, has wandered away from her God. Kiria, the city, Shahitane Manel Malea Mishpat, Vitzedek Hayolanva. How did it happen that a city that was so full of justice and righteousness, now there are murderers? Malayati Mishpat. Why Malayati? Oh, Malaya Mishpat. So Rashi says Malayati. Do you know where you have a similar term? Rabati Am. Isn't that similar? That's the first pasuk in Eicha. Eicha Yoshva Vadad Ha'ir Rabati. Malayati Mishpat. Sedek Yolimba. Do you want to hear what Yeshayahu has to say about sacrifice? Sedek Yolimba. Righteousness would stay overnight or live in the city. Tomit Shel Shachar Hayim Echaper Alavedot Shel Alayla. The Tomit of the morning, when they would bring the Korban Tomit in the morning, that was a source of forgiveness for sins that may have been performed during the night. The tumid that was brought in the afternoon was a kapara for sins that were done during the day. Tabaracha, another pshat. Shahayu malinim badine nifashas. Kishalo hayu motzin moschut biyom ha'ach ha'alef. Lo hayu gomin etino ad lomacharav. Ulayim shalo zuchut. Va'atah nasu rotzchim. This second pshat, I will explain it in a moment, becomes terribly important, because it points out a way of looking at Tanakh that we have from time to time spoken about. Second Shakarashi says that when a court would be dealing, the Sanhedrin would be dealing with a case of capital punishment, and they didn't find any means of schut for the fellows on trial, so they would not take it to a vote and decide on capital punishment, but they waited overnight. Not long to wait overnight. Maybe when we get up in the morning after a good night's sleep and we think about it all over again, we may find a means of acquitting him. That's what used to happen for Ata, and now Miratskin, there are murderers in the city. So you know what Rashi is saying? Do you know what's considered murder? What do you think? You think that the streets of Yerushalayim are full with murderers? What do you think? Do you know what they call murderers? A Sanhedrin who made a slightly hasty decision about a case of capital punishment, that's murderers. Now, which always means that you can't take the words of the Navi. You can't always take the words of the Navi at face value. You have to understand what the Navi is talking about. You have to know what he means. If you get a picture over here that the streets of Yerushalayim are pushed, blood is full of blood. Blood is flowing through the streets. There are a bunch of murderers, that's all. Bloods! And we get this great picture that, well, we're not so bad. I mean, there are a few murders, not so many, and not all of them are done by us. They're done by others. No. Ata medatzim, a Sanhedrin that made a slightly hasty decision in a case of capital punishment. That means that there's murder in the city. Umatzinu, I'm finishing the Rashi. Rashi says, Umatzinu, we find the psikta in the Medrash that Menachem Bar Oshia said, Tuf Pei Aleph Batei Knesiyot Hayu BiYerushalayim. There were 481 shuls in Yerushalayim. Kiminyan Meleati. Kiminyan Meleati. The word Meleati equals 481. In other words, a city that was full of Mishpat. The Atom Midatzim. And here you see exactly what Rashi means. In other words, a city that was full of Mishpat, 481 shuls. I wonder how many. I didn't bother to figure out what Meleati is. But I'm sure, Rashi, you know what, I have faith in Rashi. I have more faith in Rashi than my arithmetic. But listen, it's easy. Tough is tough, so you take the tough out, then you need another 81, right? So the 81, you have 40 and 30 is 70, and Yud is 80, and then look, Rashi was right on the mark. Okay. A city with four, I wonder how many shuls there are in Yerushalayim today. I think there are 481 in Harnof alone. Okay? Do I know what's going on in all of those divot in Harnof? But now listen to what Rashi says. Va'ata, and now there's murder. So he says, Horgu et Uriah, Horgu et Zechariah. There were two Nevi'im that were killed. Over a period of, 400 years, 500 years, there were two murders. And that's enough to say about Yerushalayim. Va'ata medatzchim, none of our murders. So here, even this Pshat and Rashi also indicates that we're not talking about rampant violence in the city. Unfortunately, there's a great deal more violence today than there ever was in the days of Yeshayahu.
So he's actually talking about the judges more than the...
He's talking about the leadership, and you will see that's a good comment, because you're going to see how that's going to play itself out in the next few psukim.
Which king was the...
By the way, V'atom Eratzkim, I had once said, if Reuven embarrasses Shimon publicly, that's murder. Halacha, Torah looks at it as though it's murder. In other words, the important thing is you don't have to read V'atom Eratzkim, a picture of Pleshet Mishlotzchim, Ahagetzchim, the streets of Mishlotzchim, and blood is flowing. I don't think it means when Yeshayahu says, Yedekem Domi Maleu, when you stretch out your hands to pray before me, your hands are full of blood. He doesn't chas v'shalom mean Ramallah. He doesn't mean the ugly Palestinian holding up his hand with blood coming down from it. That's not what he means. He means it in a metaphorical sense. Kaspei chayol sigim saveich mahul b'mayim. There's something beautiful about this. Beautiful but bad. Beautiful, ugly but beautiful. Kaspech, your silver hayolus sigim, has all sorts of impurities. In other words, they make a silver coin, so instead of pure silver, put in sigim. Sigim are all sorts of impure metals. And you'd go, fellow would make himself his counterfeit money, and he'd go buy a bottle of wine. The only thing is, what he doesn't know is that the wine is mixed with water. Saveich mahul b'mayim. Saveich means the wine is mixed with water. It's the famous story of Chelm. One simple story. And sing and dance. So they put a barrel in the center of town. And then on Erev Shabbos, as everybody goes to the davening, you pour in a cup of wine, you bring a cup of wine from home, you pour it in, and by the time next Sukkot rolls around, there's going to be a tremendous amount of wine oil. Anyway, Yankel or Shmevel or Bevel decided, listen, everybody's going to put in wine, so I'll put in a cup of, put in water. Nobody's going to know the difference. Anyway, a year later, on Simchas Torah, when they opened up the barrel, they couldn't make Borek Riagotan, but Shahakol Niyav in Varo. Everybody had the same great idea. Saveich Mahul Bamayim. What does he...
What about buying the wine with the impure
coin? You can make a broch on it if it's wine. If it's wine. No, but you know what, because there is a Gemara that says, the one who steals and makes a bracha, Ni'etz Hashem, has rejected God. I would suggest Don't do it. Don't do it, because then, huh? No, you shouldn't do anything that's stolen. By the way, if you do steal something and you want to make a bracha, have somebody else make a bracha to be made to you. I'm just kidding. Sorayich sodidin. Your ministers are sodidin, are rebellious ones. V'chavrei ganavim. They're a group of thieves, or they are friends with ganavim. If you're in politics, you need a friend in the mafia. Chavrei ganavim. Kulo ohev shochad. They all love graft. V'rodev shalmonim. And they pursue payoffs. Payola. Yes, he's speaking to the leadership of the city. What did I learn with you last week? Kor Hashem, to the Anshei Lotzon, the jokers, Moshlei Ha'amazeh, the rulers of this people, Asher Yerushalayim, he's railing against the leadership. Leadership is corrupt. And if leadership is corrupt, then of course it's going to filter down. Yosom lo yishpotu, therefore they will not judge the orphan, v'riv almona lo yavo aleihem, and the problem of an almana will not even come to them. And Rashi explains so beautifully, what do you mean it will not come to them? Because the almana goes to the Bezdin and she sees a Yosem walking out and she asks him what happened. He says, God, they give me a hard time and I lost. So you know what she decides? That's what happened with a man, a male. Me, I'll never get a fair hearing. So she turns around and goes back home. So Riv Almana Lo Yavo Aleihem doesn't even come to that. Lachem. That means, of course, remember, I think we had pointed out last week, there was a big difference between Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu. Yeshayahu immediately accepts the challenge. In chapter 6, we're going to see that the Rebbeim says, Mi yelech lanu, et mi eshlach, who should I send to? Mi yelech lanu, and who's going to go? And Yeshayahu says, here I am, I'm going to go. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yirmiyahu and he says, Yirmiyahu, go to Yerushalayim and speak out against them. He's hesitant, he's reluctant, he refuses. He says, I can't, I'm young, I can't talk, I'm not. The difference between Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, number of differences. Number one, Yeshayahu lived in Yerushalayim. And Yirmiyahu lived in a small town called Anatot. Number two, Yeshayahu was part of the royal family. Yirmiyahu was a Kohen, he was an outsider. Yeshayahu already was an adult. Yirmiyahu may very well have been much younger than him. And for him, the idea of going to Yerushalayim and speaking out against the leadership in Yerushalayim was a frightening, frightening thing. Yes, people are afraid of those who are in power. Afraid of the people who are in power. Yeshayahu, in the first chapter, speaks out against those in power. Now, one of the things we're going to have to give thought to is the following. We're going to see that the beginning of his ministry as a prophet is in chapter 6. So why is chapter 1 chapter 1? What obviously the conclusion that we're going to have to come to, and it's going to be a true conclusion, is that in chapter 1, going into the middle of chapter 2, all of the main themes that Yeshayahu is going to speak about in the entire period of 60 to 90 years that he was Navi, everything is already foreshadowed in this chapter and a half. And we'll see. Hashem Tzrakot, therefore says the Master, the God of hosts, Abir Yisrael, the Mighty One of Israel, Hoy, Enochein Mitzorai, I will be consoled from those who oppress me, V'inokma, and I will take revenge, May Oyevai, from my enemies, V'oshivo Yodi Olayich, and I'm going to pass my hand over you, V'etzrof Kabor Sigoyech, and I'm going to cleanse like with soap, Sigoyach, your, we had the word before, Kasteich,
yes.
Yeah? Sigim are the dross, the now Rashi, interestingly enough, over here on the word bor, says the following: lashon borit. The word bor comes from the word borit, and if you don't know what borit is, he gives you the French the savon. Is that enough?
Soap.
Now, it's called soap because what it does is it cleanses and purifies. What does David HaMelech say? Mi yaleh b'har Hashem u'mi yakum b'har kodesho niki chapayim u'var levav. The one whose hands are clean and whose heart is pure. I'm therefore going to purify the dross. I'm going to clean. V'asida kol b'diloyach. I'm going to remove. Bedil is really like tin, a metal that they put into the... by the way, you have to understand that it doesn't have to refer only to coins. Sins are the impurities in what would otherwise be a perfect or a near-perfect human being, and he's full of all sorts of impurities and imperfections. So don't think only in terms of money. Think in terms of the larger idea that's expressed. There are impurities. We're tainted. We're soiled. And we have to be cleansed. And take a look. Do you know how I'm going to do it? Because I'm going to return your judges as at the beginning, for your atzayich and your advisors as it was at the beginning. That's Shmon Esrei is based on that. Ashiva shofteinu kivor rishona. In the plural, it becomes part of davening. We need leadership desperately. We need leadership on all levels. Most probably, for who knows how many years, Jews have been referring to the generation as a dor yosam. We are a generation of orphans. There is no leadership that of stature and honesty and strength and determination. And you know what will happen when I return that leadership to you? Acharei came afterwards. Yikarei loch ir hatzedek. You will be called the city of justice. Kiryah ne'emana. How did this all begin? Echa haita lezona kiryah ne'emana. That's how it started in Pasuk 21, Chaf Aleph. And now it will be ir hatzedek kiryah ne'emana. Tzion b'nishpat tifadeh b'shaveho b'tzdava. Tzion is going to be redeemed through justice. V'shaveha, v'tzidaka, and those who return are going to their schus is going to be the schus either of tzedakah or acts of charity and righteousness. See on what an amazing pasuk, and this is the last pasuk of the Haftorah. The Haftorah ends on Shabbos Chazon. The Haftorah ends on a positive note. See on b'mishpati padeh. V'shaveha b'tzedakah. Rashi says the mishpat tipadeh ayidei sheyiu ba'oseh mishpat. What's going to return Yerushalayim to its greatness? There will be people who are going to do justice over here. Tipadeh, she will be redeemed me'avonoteha from her sins. V'shaveha. Now Rashi says that v'shaveha means osei tshuva shebetocha. Those who do tshuva in Yerushalayim, it will be through charity and righteousness. There are those who learn that the shovel means those who return to Yerushalayim. Their great source is going to be tzedakah. And the Radak over here says, "Uvitzedakah sheyasu," through the charity that they will do, "Yoshuvu lo hagolim mimena." You see, Rashi learns the shovel means those who do tshuva. And the Radak clearly is talking about those who return from the Gola. It's going to be in the schus of Tzedakah. In the schus of Tzedakah. The Shur Poshim, the Chatoim Yachtov, and the breaking of the intentional sinners and the sinners be shogeg together. They will be broken. The back of evil leadership will be broken. For Oz Ve'Hashem, those who forsake God, Yichlu will be destroyed. Because the end is that they're going to be embarrassed. May Elim Asher Chamadetem, the Elim that you desired. An Elah is a tree. and they used to worship the Elah. Is the Elah an oak?
Elm.
What's it say?
Elm.
Elm. Never get trees straight. Huh?
Terebinth.
Yeah, terebinth. I never knew what a terebinth. I was raised on terebinth. Ich weiß nicht, was a terebinth is. But Elah, Elah said what it says in the elm? Meineket, Devorah Meineket Rivka is buried under the Elah. That's right. Ki Eivoshu Me'elim Asher Chamadetem. By the way, here is the first place in this chapter where there seems to be a real reference to idolatry. First reference to idolatry. The Tachperu, you'll be ashamed, may have ganot from the gardens, Asher Becharetem, that you chose. Gardens, beautiful gardens, were the place where they would put statues, and that's where they would worship their idols.
Doesn't that far mean the dig?
Yes, it does.
But
I need guy. Yeah, okay. So you should know. First of all, it's like the word cherpa and tachperu. The letters are exchanged, but the truth is, it can mean dig. It can mean dig too. But over here, let me show you. For example, the Malbim. The Malbim says, no, the Malbim says the following. Listen to this, it's an interesting Malbim. Yevoshu, because the context over here is that you'll be embarrassed. So therefore, when we come to the word the Tachbaru, the second part of the sentence, it also seems some form of shame or embarrassment. And along comes the Malbim, and here's a general rule that you should know for all of Tanakh, and certainly we're going to need it in Yeshayahu. There's a difference, he says, between Busha, Klima, and Cherpa, and Chafar. He therefore is obviously learning that they're all shame, embarrassment, Shanda, Cherpa. I don't have any more words to use. And he says the following. Busha hi be'etzem hamid vayesh. Busha is a feeling that is rooted in the person who's ashamed. Now, we do something and reflexive, that's what, you know, it's from within. It's from within. Klima and cherpa is something that comes from without. Somebody else embarrasses or shames me. The chefer, the cherpa, gedola mi klima. Chefer and cherpa, he says the words are the same, are even, almost only the strongest or the sharpest form of being embarrassed.
But it could simply be me, the goddess of their dad.
That's exactly what she asked, and that's exactly what I meant. What does Sonsino say?
Sonsino says, which you have desired, which is now. You shall be confounded for the garden that you have chosen.
Confounded.
The Ibn Ezra says
the Tachbaru kimo tefoshu. That's what he says. In other words, where a word can have more than one possible meaning, do you know how you know what it means? You look in the context.
Does it mean that you will sink into the garden that you have chosen?
You know what? You're going to dig a hole from embarrassment. And the hole that you dug, you will dig for yourselves. All right, I'm ready to go. Dig your own grave. Keep to, because you know what? You worship the elms, ki tiu ke'ela no velet ola. You're going to be like an ela whose leaves wither, uchidgana, and like a garden ashamayim ela that has no water. There will be death there. And Rashi, what's interesting, Rashi here, there's a dict of Rashi. novellet. You have that in the first perek in Tillim. Everyone knows the first perek in Tillim, right? You will be like a tree that is planted by water that the leaves will not wither. So Rashi wants to point out, don't make the mistake of thinking that novellet comes like from the word bavel or mabul or bala. Bavel, mabul, or bala, which is of course parashat HaShavua, all refer to something rotting. Yibol is a different word that means to wither. There's a difference between wither and rotting. V'haya hechason l'na'odet u'faralo l'nitzotz. Hechason means the strong one. The strong one is going to be, you know, it's always the strong think that they're going to inherit the earth. V'haya hechason, the strong one is going to be Na'oret. Na'oret is sawdust. It's going to be sawdust. Ufalo. The one who does the evil will be Nitzotz, will be the spark. Uvaru Shneim Yardov Ve'en Mechaber. They will both burn together, be consumed, and there is nobody there to put out the fire. The chason that he's referring to is the idol. The idol that's made out of wood is going to become sawdust. Now remember, I've said it so often, but we have to say it again. When we talk about idols, it does not necessarily have to mean a geshgala. The idol is somebody that I look up to, that he's going to be my ally and come to my aid and my assistance. Clinton.
Barack.
Oh. Mu Barack. Will be, they're going to be sawdust. Nebulous. And they will both be destroyed together.
Gosh, he says something else about the
Chassan. He says, Ha Tokev, Shaho, you own Sinasanim, the Gozlin Osan. Very good. You're doing good work on your own. That's Tov Mi'od. Good. Oh, the strong one means the violent one. He's going to be nothing. The end is he will be nothing. I want to read a few psukim that in Yitzhak Hashem we will elaborate on next week, but they also set the stage for Sefer Yeshayahu. Sefer Yeshayahu is going to focus in very, very great measure, is going to focus on Har HaBayit and Yerushalayim. Isn't that the first pasuk? Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz Asher Chozo al Yehuda of Yerushalayim. And here comes the great few psukim that you'll have to tell me where these psukim are inscribed. HaDover Asher Chozo Yeshayahu ben Amoz, that which Yeshayahu ben Amoz saw, al Yehuda of Yerushalayim, by Yehuda of Yerushalayim, will come to pass ba'acharit hayamim, at the end of days or later in the future. We're going to talk about this. Nachon yeb har beit Hashem v'rosh haharim, the house of God is going to be established at the top of mountain. The nisom mikvotim will be raised from the hills. The nohar veil of kol agreim, and all of the nations of the world are going to flow there. What we're talking about is there will come a moment at which Har HaBayit is going to be the focus of world attention. I get a little scary. It certainly is the focus of world attention today. The Nohar Ueilov, Kol HaGoyim, and all of the nations of the world are going to flow there. I have a feeling that the word the Noharu can have another meaning over here. We had the word, later on in Yeshayahu, we had the word the Nohart from Lashon Or. It will be the place from which light is going to come. I'll point out that positive. And in many nations are going to go, they're going to say, El Hashem, let's go to the mountain of God. El Beit Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Yaakov. V'yoreinu midrochav, and he will teach us from his ways. V'neilchopa or chotavim, we will go in his paths. The Malbim always points out that the difference between a derech and an orach is a derech is a main highway and an orach is a pathway. V'yoreinu midrochav, v'neilchopa or chotav, ki mitzion heitzei Torah. Because from Tzion shall come out Torah, the word of God from Yerushalayim. There's a lot to say on these psukim, and of course the next pasuk, the Shafat Bein Hagoyim, God will judge between the nations, the Hochiach La'amim Rabin, and he will admonish many peoples, v'chitetu charvotam le'itim, and they will beat their swords into plowshares, v'chanitotehem, and their spears, lemaz, made out into pruning hooks. Lo yisog goy el goy cherev, no nation will lift sword against nation, below yilmedu od milchama, and they will no longer learn war. This appears, of course, where? The United Nations, the Isaiah wall. I told you the story once, and I'm going to say it again, because I want to get it down on tape. March 26, 1978, I believe, was the day of the signing of the Israel-Egypt peace treaty on the South Lawn of the White House. I don't know, then I thought it was great. Maybe it still is, I'm not sure. All right. Anyway, there were the three, Carter, Begin, and Sadat. And me. And many other great dignitaries in the American, both Jewish and non-Jewish world. Jimmy Carter was the first one to speak, and when Jimmy Carter, he ended his speech by saying, the prophet Isaiah stated they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up. Okay. Sadat comes to the end of his speech and he says in the prophet Isaiah says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares. No nation will lift up. Begin was the third speaker. Do I have to tell you how he ended the speech? The prophet Isaiah says, and he starts quoting the same passage. So for about 2 or 3 seconds I was very embarrassed. Oh, come on! And then I thought to myself, Begin, you're a genius. Do you understand? In all of 5,000 years of world literature, the Christian Carter cannot find a better way of expressing the hope of all people. The Muslim Sadat, all of the massive Muslim literature, cannot find anything that expresses the great hope for peace better than these psukim in Yeshayahu. So Begin must have been thinking to himself, Yena shikir agoy, and that Muslim can quote Isaiah? Ich bin an enikel. I'm going to quote Isaiah. It is amazing, by the way, when you think of it. Nothing greater has ever been written than these few psukim. So anybody who tells us that we are a warlike, aggressive people, narishkeit, the greatest expression, nation shall not lift up sword against nation. All right, we will talk about it, and of course the focus of all of this is Tzion v'Yerushalayim. Okay.